L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking to none other than George Takei. Well, it's fascinating because from the story of your, kitchen table conversations with Dad about democracy, despite the personal family history and the tragedy around internment, that love of country and that sense of America's promise is still imminent and so important to the extent that you found ways to utilize that in grade school politics and getting involved publicly. So I guess in one sense I could say, or you could confirm, that your faith in this democratic system, while at times challenged, remains strong. And is that, can you say that in the face of January 6th from your perspective? Because I think you would bring a unique appreciation of exactly what January 6th says and what it means if we don't pay attention.
Throughout American history, we have been challenged. Our democracy has been challenged. And as a child, I really felt, I didn't understand it, but the scary barbed wire fence and the sentry towers with the machine guns pointed at us, some of the riots that we had in camp, and some at night, some of the quote troublemakers, people that were angry, their units would be raided and dragged out, mm-hmm. and their wives or sisters or mothers would be screaming and shouting, So I have these very real memories of incarceration and the horror of it. And I remember one assembly that I went to with my father, which turned into a riot. And my father taking me by my hand and running like bats out of hell back to our barrack.
Right.
So I've seen the horrors of it. And January 6th was something like that in a different shape and form.
Right.
Our democracy is always challenged. In the 60s, when we were doing Star Trek, And the utopian idealism of Gene Roddenberry,
yeah.
depicted was a result of the turmoil of the 60s, the civil rights movement going on, mm-hmm. the Vietnam War tearing this country. I mean, the war was way over there in Southeast Asia, but America was being torn apart by those who fiercely supported the war and those who were campaigning hard for peace. And by that time I was an actor, so I joined the Hollywood group called EIPJ,
right.
Entertainment Industry for Peace and Justice. And I became great friends with Jane Fonda and Donald Sutherland. As a matter of fact, Jane helped fund one of the rallies that we had in the Asian American community.
Mm.
She was a very generous and fully committed person. And I still bridle at people who see her as a mindless radical. She was really a passionate.
No, if you study her history, you know that she was not mindless about anything that she did, particularly Absolutely. When it came to her civic responsibility. So she took it very seriously. And it's fascinating to hear that connection with the two of you, particularly given your own personal journey, to have that sort of reinforcement from a broader community, a white community, as an Asian American, really. And again, as you said, Gene Roddenberry kind of put his finger on this sort of utopian ideal that is evinced in our founding documents.
Precisely.
To sort of live that out on the screen in Star Trek, as well as in reality, through the work you were doing in Hollywood, it kind of brings me to the point of your TED Talk, where you talk about, why I loved a country that once betrayed me, and that narrative of love, that narrative of the ideal still matters, it still has value. And despite the difficulties, you can't give up, because the love is a thing, the love of country, the love of family, the love of community, are the things
and
that
the
hold
love
us together.
Of the ideals of this country, democracy.
Exactly. Yeah.
My father, when I was a teenager, explained to me, in our case, there were no charges. When you're arrested in our democracy, we have what's called due process. When you're arrested, you have to have the right to know why you're arrested. And then you have the right to challenge it
right.
in the court of law, where they have to back up their charge with evidence. And then if you indeed are guilty, then you pay the price. Then there's a punishment. In our case, it was no charge, no trial, just punishment, simply right. because we look like this.
That's right.
Our race. And that's the original sin of this country. We know about 1619.
Right.
I mean, for us, our incarceration was 4 years. For African Americans, as you well know,
It's a work in progress.
It's still going on. I mean, Black Lives Matter. It mattered in 1619 too.
Right.
And Asian lives mattered then. And it still hasn't been resolved. Asians.
No, it hasn't.
Now because of that guy.
Yeah.
That so-called president constantly saying. China virus and Wuhan virus,
yeah.
Kung flu. That's the responsibility that he had, that he failed utterly. He betrayed the ideals of democracy, and he fomented stupidity and wild behavior. And that's what January 6th was too. So, that's one part of American history that we must overcome by having the majority who are responsible citizens respond to it. And the Congressional Commission right now is doing that process. And that's what, in our case, from the Japanese American community, a movement began to get redress for that unjust imprisonment. And the government taking everything that we had, they froze our bank account. I mean,
yeah. That's
really putting you in a straitjacket.
Oh, yeah.
My father's business was destroyed. Our home was taken because mortgage payments couldn't be made. And so we know that this, because the people are fallible people, democracy has its fallibility. And we have the job of making sure that our ideals are supported by people who understand what it means. And so every generation has to come up with it. What happened to Japanese Americans in the 40s is happening again on the southern borders
mm-hmm.
or on our streets where people are spat at and yelled at and assaulted. That happened to us in the 40s too. The words were different words, Jap, or a spy,
right.
or saboteur, But it's the same because I call teachers the pillars of democracy. Education is so important, and we don't have that opportunity now. The radical people are now assaulting education.
Well, critical race theory. Exactly.
Exactly. They're not teaching that.
You can't tell your story and my story because some white folks may be traumatized by it.
They mustn't be made to feel guilty.
No. But,
you know, we have a history of guilt. I mean, when the Japanese American community started a movement for an apology and redress, the resistance was very strong. But the amazing thing about American democracy, we had in Congress Japanese Americans, and in the Senate, two Japanese Americans from Hawaii, Senator Danny Inouye.
Whose arm was injured during the war, yeah.
Left it in Italy.
Yep.
And Senator Spark Matsunaga, who was also a veteran of the 442nd, two Japanese Americans in the Senate, and we had four congressmen. Mm-hmm. And that made the difference, too, because they were now part of that legislative body, and they, Senator Inouye, suggested that Congress form a commission. And so in 1980, they formed the commission to gather information on the internment, as if the government didn't have information. They had all the information
covered.
And so they held hearings, and I testified at that hearing as a person who was a child at that time, but how it affected my development as an American and as a person who believes in democracy. And that I said to the commissioners, we all, you commissioners and the elected officials, have the responsibility to make our ideals really true, to be vibrantly alive. Because fallible human beings have been messing it up throughout history.
Yeah.
And so now, you know, with the redress movement for African Americans, Japanese Americans strongly support that. We've been talking about that in the Japanese American Citizens League, our civil rights organization, somewhat comparable to the NAACP, is strongly in support of redress for African Americans.
Yeah,
How to structure it is a big challenge.
You've been part of one of the leading voices, as a matter of fact, on H.R. 40, which is the reparations legislation. Again, making that case to begin the process of the government redressing these issues. How do you see those storylines playing out in this environment? George, right now, we can't even get members of our United States Senate to agree that voting rights in this country matter. So Black folks sitting there waiting for reparations, we're like, okay, you'll get back to us, right?
It's almost ludicrous, but, you know, it is so deadly serious. And so that's why I say, you know, throughout history, the same thing that happened to Japanese Americans in the 40s, in different form, has been happening throughout our history.
Yeah.
Because we have shining, noble ideals, but it's so dependent on fallible human beings, and we've got to get them educated and make them aware that our democracy is very fragile, and it requires people who understand democracy to be actively engaged in it. And the trouble is, these people who call themselves patriots and assault the Capitol are the polar opposite of patriots.
Absolutely. Well, I got one last question for you before I let you get out of here. I got to be the Star Trek fan, dude. I'm sorry. You know, I got to go. I grew up in front of my television in our household. Star Trek is a big deal. And
good.
And, you know, whenever I'm asked, you know, Captain Picard or Captain Kirk. I'm like, oh, hell yes, Captain Kirk. What are you talking about? Absolutely. But the one thing I want to say, because it is, it's interesting how stories evolve and then backstories you kind of fill in. Your character was one I always thought was cool for a whole lot of reasons. But what I appreciated in sort of the updating of the Star Trek story was the idea that they would show that side, that human side of the character, if you will, in these times, and see that tie in to some of your work in real life with the LGBTQ community, and some of the the idealism of Gene Roddenberry sort of coming through in that respect. How do you see the presentation today of science fiction as a leading indicator of possibly where we can go as a people, not just here in this country, but globally, because Star Trek has that kind of impact, obviously. And yes, you've played a role in that.
In the 60s, Star Trek played a very strong leading role, as you will recognize. Mm-hmm. And science fiction is the freedom of the imagination. And yes, there is the freedom that to go dark as in human society.
Yes, as sometimes we do, right?
Yes. But it's also the freedom to really shine. And science fiction, I think, is one of the roads to education, educating us on what might be and what, and to illustrate how much we've advanced. Like, here I am talking to you in my study here.
Right.
And you're in Washington, D.C.
Right.
Or in Maryland.
Maryland, yeah.
And in color, immediate. When we came out of camp back in 1940, actually, we came out in 1946.
Mm-hmm.
We were one of the last to be released.
Wow.
And my father took us to a movie, a color movie, Technicolor, where it was green, was so lush green. And he took us to see The Adventures of Robin Hood.
Right.
And Sherwood Forest in all its verdant glory and those crimson capes, velvet capes, you know. And Robin Hood stealing from the rich people and giving it to the poor. I mean, that was a stirring thing. And that, in one of our episodes, the writers came up with the idea of the virus. We were talking about viruses back then.
Yeah, exactly.
That invade our bodies through the palm of our hand, the mm-hmm. sweat, and it affects our sense of inhibition or propriety. And when it affected me, the writers had me brandishing a samurai sword. I said to them, well, I'm Japanese American, and so that's ethnically consistent.
Right.
But when I was a kid, I didn't go around playing a samurai in my backyard. I said, Sulu is a 23rd century guy, and his sense of his heritage would be much wider than narrowly ethnic. And I said, when I was a kid, I played Robin Hood in my backyard. My backyard was Sherwood Forest. And Martha Gonzalez was my Maid Marian.
Right.
And that skinny, tall, blonde guy was my Friar Tuck. Because it was my backyard.
It was your backyard.
She sewed the costumes.
Right, right. You cast it the way you wanted to cast
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And so I said, why not put a fencing foil in his hand rather than a samurai sword? Really make it a science fiction thing, you know?
Right.
And he said, that's a great idea. And that turned out to be my favorite episode.
Wow.
And I take my shirt off, all sweaty and
I remember that, yeah.
Working out.
Yes, and, a young Sulu, yes. I love it.
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
Facepalm America is a show for progressives and others on the left who want to keep up with the ridiculousness that this country dishes out, find out what cable news misses when they're waiting for Trump to appear at a podium, and also, every once in a while, get a laugh at how silly this hot mess of a nation of ours really is. If that's you, listen to Facepalm America. You can go to facepalmamerica.com or find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.